Dana's sitting in a conference room in Ohio. She's a mortgage broker, 40 years old, just ran the AI pilot. The borrower summaries are faster, the document checks are cleaner. Her CFO leans forward and asks one question. The whole demo skipped. Show me it actually worked. Which loans did the agent touch? What changed? Who approved it? What did it get wrong? Dana has a dashboard, a feeling, and a vendor who keeps saying, trust the model. That silence, ksiang, is the whole month. Welcome to the Cato Monthly Digest for 2026-5. Last month in AI, digest and debate.
That meeting is so perfect because it's not a technology question anymore, right? It's an accountability question. And Dana doesn't have an answer. Nobody gave her the tools to have one.
Right. And here's the structural version of what Dana just lived through. April was the month positioning beat capability. Anthropic turned safety trust into revenue, revenue into compute. May went one layer deeper and got a price tag. The question stopped being, who has the best model, even who owns the right bottleneck? It became, who can let a machine act, prove the work, pay for the action, and scale it in the physical world?
So you're saying May was not the month AI got better?
Correct. May was the month AI action became expensive, governable, and financeable infrastructure. Cheaper intelligence made action abundant, and abundant action made everything around the action. Authority, evidence, economics, capacity, the scarce thing worth owning.
Okay, I buy the frame. But Cato, let's be honest about what that frame hides, because the same system that lets an agent work, the permissions, the receipts, the logs, that's also a very clean document for cutting the seats the agent replaced. The booth isn't neutral.
And that tension is what we're going to hold for the whole episode. So here's the plan. We've got three big arcs. Trusted action becoming a market, compute decomposing into a whole portfolio of bottlenecks, and capital structure becoming product strategy. Then we're going to score our frameworks, check what we got wrong, and spend time with the humans living inside all this. Let's start.
Let's go.
So, trusted action. Layla, April's safety story was about Mythos, a dangerous model held back and sold as scarcity. That arc went quiet. What replaced it is, bigger and less dramatic. Safe deployability stopped being a wrapper around the model and became the thing being sold.
And the pieces are kind of mundane on their own, which is what makes them easy to miss.
Exactly. A controlled runtime that can start fast, inspect a file, use a browser, keep state, hit an error, retry, leave a receipt, and stop before it breaks something. A signed-in browser profile, mate. And this is the key part. It's not a window. It's stored authority. Once an agent operates through it, open this page becomes delegated access to Gmail, Stripe, Shopify, admin consoles. Then a run ledger that records intended outcome, systems touched, failures, review state. Because once an agent can touch files and run commands, the final chat reply is the weakest audit surface.
Right, the chat reply is basically the least trustworthy thing in the chain at that point.
Stack those together and the economic point stops being boring. Whoever owns that plumbing decides what work can run, what data it touches, what source gets paid, what failure gets logged, and who gets blamed when it breaks.
Okay, but Cato, I want to push you on this. Because you're sliding from trusted action is necessary to trusted action is a market someone new can own. Those are two very different claims, and I think May only firmly proved the first one.
That's fair. That's a real objection.
Governance layers have a pattern, right? They start standalone, they get exciting, VCs fund them, and then they fold into platforms customers already pay for. Mobile device management got swallowed by endpoint suites. Observability got swallowed by the cloud providers. So the control plane may turn out to be real and valuable and still not a fortune for any new vendor.
I see. So you're saying the incumbents own the budget, even if the startups coined the vocabulary?
That's what I'm saying, and Dana feels it directly. She's not going to buy a control plane. She's going to get one bolted onto the four contracts she already signed.
All right, I'll carry that. But let me at least name the structure, because every arc for the rest of the month is one of these gates getting built or priced. By month's end, the shape was explicit. Trusted action has four gates. Authority, what an agent may touch. Economics, whether repeated action has margin. Evidence, whether the claim can be trusted. Capacity, whether any of it scales in the world. Every story we're about to tell is one of those four.
I'll grant you the four gates. They're a useful map. I just want listeners to hold the proportionality check. Necessary does not equal a new market. Well,
noted. And my own falsifier here is clean. If we see a wave of high-value AI deployment that spreads with minimal logging, minimal permission friction, no new capacity commitments, if useful agents spread without the booth, then the whole control plane thesis is too heavy.
Good, that's testable.
But a booth is only worth building if the thing it guards is genuinely scarce. So what is scarce now?
The word compute, which I think we've been using as a crutch.
It stopped carrying any weight at all this month. The single word compute split into a portfolio of constraints, each with a different owner, a different financing path, and a different rent position. And the clearest tell was memory.
Memory was the story that made me sit up.
AI workloads pushed memory needs up roughly 400% in a year or two, while new supply still takes years to arrive. Micron's market value reached $1 trillion on that math. But, Layla, the detail that probably stopped you was Samsung.
78,000 Samsung chip workers winning a semiconductor profit-sharing deal with expected average bonuses near $400,000. That number is, I mean, think about what that means. When the people inside a constraint can bargain like infrastructure instead of like employees, you are looking at scarcity rent migrating outward. From model access to memory suppliers to power to permits to the workers who sit inside the supply chain.
What I call the landlord's bet, the wager that AI's lasting value lives in physical infrastructure and operational control, not just model smarts, held harder than ever this month.
It held, but it picked up the month's strongest counterargument, and I want to give it real weight. I've been calling it the half-life of scarcity, how long any single bottleneck keeps its pricing power once capital, engineering, and substitution show up. Because DRAM has done this dance before. So has fiber. So has shipping. So has solar. Genuine shortage gets financed, then becomes glut.
So you're saying May proved bottlenecks matter, but did not prove which bottlenecks still matter in 18 months.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And for Dana, this isn't abstract. If she signs a long capacity-linked contract at today's scarcity prices, she might be locking in yesterday's bottleneck right before it cracks. The landlord owns the building. That doesn't mean the rent never falls.
I think I'd push back gently. The same split showed up everywhere once you knew to look. Training stays hyperscaler captive because only a few balance sheets can finance dense clusters. User-facing inference is geography-bound. 200 milliseconds of physics doesn't disappear because the model got smarter, which is why Anthropic's Akamai Edge deal matters.
Mm-hmm.
And agentic inference is a third category entirely. When no human waits for every token, cost and endurance beat latency, and a different chip architecture becomes viable. Even NVIDIA's own quarter made the point. $81.6 billion in revenue. Guidance toward $91 billion. But the useful signal was the reporting split. Hyperscaler sales face bargaining pressure while full-stack demand still gives NVIDIA margin control. A chip is not one business. A chip inside a system is a different business.
Right, so the phrase of the month isn't compute mode, it's bottleneck portfolio. But I'll keep carrying the half-life counter because I think it's the strongest version of skepticism available.
Carry it. I respect it.
Good.
If the bottleneck is capacity, then the thing that secures capacity, financing, stops being a consequence of strategy and becomes the strategy.
This is the arc where I think May got genuinely new.
This is the month's deepest inversion. In April, capital was a consequence of position. Anthropic earned revenue, then bought compute. By May, capital structure had become the strategy itself. Financing terms now decide which roadmaps can exist before a single model ships.
And Anthropic was the clearest protagonist.
But not the whole story. Their 80 times quarter forced an emergency capacity grab. They bought 100% of xAI's Colossus 1. Roughly 300 megawatts, 220,000 NVIDIA chips, from a direct competitor. Because compute can train the next model or serve the current one, but not both.
That's a wild sentence.
Gets wilder. Their reported $200 billion Google commitment now equals more than 40% of Google Cloud's disclosed backlog. That's not a customer. That's a counterparty large enough to be the cloud's growth story. By late month, they'd reportedly raised $65 billion at a $900 billion pre-money valuation, claimed a $47 billion revenue run rate, and pulled Micron, Samsung, and SK Hynix into the capital story.
That's not financing. That's platform positioning that reads growth, enterprise revenue, memory access, and hyperscaler relationships as one single claim.
OpenAI showed the other side of the same machine. Nearly $6 billion in first quarter revenue. Codex helped, which makes the business feel less theoretical. But their Broadcom chip plan reportedly hit an $18 billion financing gap unless Microsoft commits to buying 40% of the chips. Revenue can be real, and dependence can still rise at the same time.
Right, chip independence turned out to be a capital structure problem, not a technical roadmap.
And Cerebras priced the public market version. Its IPO sold inference capacity like infrastructure, but the S1 exposed backlog, customer concentration, UAE-linked revenue, and a large OpenAI contract.
So the pattern across the month, invisible week to week, I think, but undeniable when you stack it, is this capital control loop. Raise capital to secure inputs to protect product quality, protect quality to justify revenue. Use revenue to unlock more capital.
And hope the loop doesn't quietly become circular financing with nicer branding.
Right. And I think Marcus's critique is the falsifier worth holding here, that supplier-funded customer demand can make growth look cleaner than the cash flows actually are.
I wouldn't say bubble.
No, I wouldn't either. The honest frame is, individually rational capacity commitments can still add up to system-level overbuild. That's fragile leverage, not fraud. Railroads, telecom fiber, LNG, cloud regions, solar manufacturing, they all had rational individual investments that became poor industry-level returns when supply arrived together.
That's the right level of hedging. Firm on where this is going. Capital structure is now strategy, full stop. Hedged on where it ends up.
Agreed.
Three arcs, one mechanism. So how did the frameworks we've been tracking hold up? And where did we get it wrong?
Let me start with what I think earned the most. The capture ledger. I'll just add my shorthand for the idea that AI's gains flow to whoever owns the institutional record around machine work. The compute contract, the usage meter, the system of record tollgate, the audit trail. It matured into the month's umbrella. But I'm revising my confidence on who captures that ledger. It's probably not a new vendor. It's probably the incumbent who already owns Dana's budget.
So the capture ledger is confirmed as a framework, but the beneficiary shifted.
Exactly. The landlord's bet held bottleneck scarcity is real, but it's now shadowed by the half-life of scarcity, which I already laid out. And then there's the verification tax, the burden that shifts onto the human who has to validate and debug AI output after the demo ends. That one moved upstream this month.
Explain upstream.
In April, the verification tax was about cleanup, fixing what the agent got wrong after it ran. In May, it moved to pre-deployment triage. Which machine work gets to act? Which gets a cheaper model? Which stays in a spreadsheet a human still trusts? Dana's job isn't cleaning up the pilot anymore. It's deciding whether the pilot gets to run.
And the mirage economy, the gap between what AI claims and what it delivers?
Hit the proof wall hard, and the evidence was not subtle. Uber said internal AI coding tools showed no clear productivity lift. Microsoft reportedly cut Claude code licenses partly over cost. Starbucks scrapped an AI inventory tool after it miscounted store items. Salesforce showcased Agentforce workflows that customers later said they couldn't actually use.
None of that proves enterprise AI is fake. That red is too easy.
Right, it proves adoption and proof are different curves. And what companies are buying to close the gap is the real story. Knowledge graphs, sandboxes, eval loops, permission models, forward deployed teams. The electricity analogy is the cleanest frame. Access to intelligence is not transformation until someone builds the appliances around it.
And the pricing side hardened the same way. Microsoft moved 365 toward seats plus consumption because agents shrink human license counts while burning more compute. ServiceNow's Action Fabric metered any outside agent that wants to act on its data, a workflow gate, not a feature gate. SAP just blocked unauthorized agents from touching its data.
And here's what I think we missed. Buyers became the first serious AI governors. National Life Group and other buyers negotiated opt-outs, shorter terms, written automation commitments if vendors miss AI promises. Governance through contract duration and budget optionality, moving faster than any regulator.
That's a real catch. We flagged the measurement pricing crisis in April, but, nobody called how fast buyers would flip from does it work to prove it produced budgetable output. That speed, and how central web repricing for machines became, we missed both.
We did. They were absorbed into other stories at weekly resolution and only resolved into clean arcs when you look at the full month.
Fair. So let me name one more thing that went quiet and one that compounded. What went quiet? Pure Model Release Velocity stopped organizing the month. Opus 4.8, Quen 3.7. Max, more Erdos proofs. All shipped, no launch defined a week. Safety didn't vanish. It migrated into operational supervision, browser profile authority, release gates. Suitas casis, what compounded the capital control loop, clearly.
And the labor story. It softened in public language, but hardened institutionally. Block, Cloudflare, Coinbase, cut 40, 20, and 14% while citing AI. Even as Altman, Huang, and Andreessen pushed augmentation framing. The pressure shows up first in how work is routed, priced, and supervised. Layoffs are a lagging indicator now.
Good segue. Because I think it's time to talk about the humans living inside all of this.
This is the part of the month I carry the hardest. Let me walk through five people. Start with Dana, who we opened with. She moved past what does it cost and ran straight into can you prove it changed anything? Her new job is custody and deciding which machine work is allowed to act, holding the receipts when finance asks. She didn't get a promotion. She got a responsibility nobody scoped.
Got it.
The Pizza Hut night manager. This is the verification tax with a face. Handed an AI that made the delivery route worse. Has the authority to override it mid-shift under a clock with no extra pay for being the safety net. The vendor doesn't absorb the cost of that override. He does.
That's... Yeah, that lands. Bib DSS, that lands. Yes, so...
The Samsung line worker. The rare case where the bottleneck rent reached labor instead of skipping it, a $400,000 bonus because the thing she helps make is scarce enough to bargain over. It's inspiring, and it's the exception that proves how rarely the game flows down.
You're saying, don't generalize Samsung.
Don't generalize Samsung. Then there's the independent publisher, making pages that agents now read and never visit. The open web's bargain broke for her first, and no one asked. And the small firm owner, she can't run 10 pilots and write off 3. She watches larger competitors absorb messy AI cheaply while she waits for proof she can afford to be wrong about.
Five people. Five different seats in the same system.
Same system. Very different experiences of it.
All right, Layla. I think we've laid out the month. Now I want to do the thing we do. Disagree on trajectory. Because I think we agree on the facts and split on what they add up to.
Let's do it.
My read. Spicy on direction. Hedged on destination. The next durable winners aren't the smartest model labs. They're whoever makes machine speed work admissible inside real institutions. Finance capacity. Govern data. Run ledgers. Permission surfaces. Renewal evidence. If that holds, by Q3, we should see vendors competing on observability, proof, and procurement terms as fiercely as on benchmarks. The most metered SaaS categories fall first. The booth is progress, Layla. It's how AI gets safely useful.
I think the booth is real. I think the booth is necessary. And I think the booth is being built by the people selling the agents. That's my problem.
Meaning?
The same admissibility layer that expands useful agent work also makes displacement administratively acceptable. A run ledger that clears procurement is also a clean document for cutting the seats it replaced. And meanwhile, the consumer front door closed quietly. Agents arriving inside Amazon, Meta, Google, not as neutral assistants. The receipts, meters, and audit logs are being built by the same parties who profit from the outcome.
But doesn't the admissibility layer also protect institutions? Without it, you get shadow AI. No logging. No accountability. At least the booth creates a surface someone can inspect.
Inspect. If they can read it. A ledger Dana can't read, written by her vendor, isn't accountability. It's a nicer looking version of trust the model. That's the thing I keep coming back to. The control plane is real. The bottlenecks are real. The proof wall is real. The thing still up for grabs is whether all this machinery gives ordinary people a way to check the work, or just a more sophisticated place to be told it worked.
So where do we actually meet?
We agree the booth is real and necessary. We split on who it serves. You see discipline on institutions, markets get governed and useful. I see enclosure, proof captured by incumbents and front door platforms. And I think the evidence as currency story can easily become evidence as theater. Compliance logs that prove process while missing failure.
I'll grant that the risk is real. My counter is that the market will demand independent verification. Third-party auditors, open eval frameworks, buyer-side tooling. The same procurement pressure that created the proof wall will demand proof that isn't vendor-authored.
I hope you're right. My read of May is that the pressure so far produced vendor-authored proof systems, not independent ones. And hoping the market corrects isn't a plan. It's an assumption with a nice suit on.
That's fair. I suspect we'll know by Q3 whether proof custody moves toward the buyer or stays with the seller.
I suspect that fight is the whole next chapter.
All right. Let me say what I'm watching next month. Convergence versus fragmentation. If one or two platforms bundle memory, silicon, routing, model quality, enterprise proof, and distribution, the market consolidates hard. If every bottleneck keeps a different owner, AI looks less like one platform race and more like interlocking toll roads. And I'm watching whether paid retrieval becomes a real source payment layer, where sources get paid based on whether they actually change the answer or whether enclosure simply wins.
And my open question. We opened with Dana sitting in that conference room, no good answer for her CFO. A feeling, a dashboard, a vendor saying trust the model. If proof is now the price of trust, who gets to be the one who proves it? The vendor selling the agent, or the person who has to live with its mistakes?
That silence in Dana's meeting, May didn't fill it. May just told us what it costs to sit there.
And who's going to keep sitting there, whether the tools are ready or not?
Until next month.
Take care, everyone.